to you on the quest of the Holy Ghost. And while the prophecy was going forth a while ago, I had a little vision. I was coming on from the direction of, like, you're coming from San Francisco into Bakersfield, and right over, before you leave the town, there is there are high mountains before you, very, very high mountains before you. Some so high that the trucks have a hard time getting over these. And I saw golden streams. It couldn't be cloth, but it looks like gold cloth streaming from the top of the mountain right down, or like sunlight. And God was saying to the people here, it's going to be a hard time, but as we drove up on and on, struggle over this mountain, we finally came to the top of the mountain. And it's very rarely that snow falls there, once in like 10, 12 years and things like that. And I saw the sun shining brightly, and the fields were white with snow, and it was just a beautiful scene. And I know that God is promising us to bring us to the top of this mountain. I know it's a word for these people. It seems that somebody must have been talking in tongues or something, but it seems that what the person was saying, I was seeing it, and this is what I was seeing, and that God was saying to you people here, that there's a very, very difficult time ahead of you, and that you're going to make the top of the mountain by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, take your Bibles and let us look at Genesis chapter 24. And let us read as much of it as we can. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country, unto my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land, but I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou comest. And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from hence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shall be clear from thy vow or oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under his thigh of Abraham his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. Praise be to God. That's the same place we call Ur of the Chaldees, or today it is called Iran or Iran, where, or Iraq, somewhere around there, where Abraham was born. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. Praise God. We're reading a story in the natural. And as we read the story in the natural, we are looking at the spiritual. The Lord has shown me tonight that nobody will leave here except that you receive that which you desire in your heart. If you really desire a godly wish tonight, a godly desire, you want something in the Lord tonight, you're going to receive it before you leave here if you just want to. Amen. And this is the promise of the Holy Ghost that I'm giving to you directly from the Spirit tonight. Whatever you want, you're going to have it in the Lord. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Ghost is going to manifest Himself tonight in this gathering. Anybody here that has not received the Holy Spirit, or if you have received the Holy Spirit and you have not talked in tongues, and you have a doubt over it, that you have not talked in tongues or you have not received, the promise of the Holy Ghost is to you tonight. Hallelujah. You're going to receive the blessing that you desire tonight. Hallelujah. If you have somebody has a boy, a child, your son, and that boy, you want him a blessing tonight. You badly want him a blessing because you feel that he is going away from God. You are going to get that blessing for him tonight. Praise be to God. Let's thank God for that.
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God in the high. I knew God had come here to do something like this. Praise God. I knew it. Praise the Lord. I knew it from the time I came in here that God was going to do something wonderful here for you. And this is the promise to you. If you'll bear with me and listen to this word and let us go through the word together, we're going to come to the time and give the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, every time Jesus Christ preached a lesson, he demonstrated it. He said, I am the bread of life. Next thing, he was bringing bread out of nowhere, as it were, breaking and giving them to eat. Hallelujah. If he's going to teach you a lesson, he's going to teach you right through to the end. And the end of every lesson is the manifestation of the lesson. We must walk in the Word of God, or else we're playing. You hear me? Every time you get a word from God, you make God help you walk in it. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. And so, we take the thing on the natural. You remember, I teach you about three planes. Even as the eye see three different planes in looking at any object, you can see three sides of it. Yes, you can see three sides. I'm looking at that stove there. I can see the top. I can see this side to me, and I can see the front side. I'm sure Brother Talby over there is seeing something different from me. He's seeing the back side and the other side. And you, brother, you're seeing two sides over there too. But the maximum that you can see at a time is three sides. And so one side represents the natural, one side represents the spiritual, and the other side represents the fullness of the world. Tonight, I'm giving you this natural word, but so that you might get interested in what I'm saying. And in this story, I'm going to tell you the spiritual meaning, so that you will understand what's going on. Now, this brother here, his name was called, afterwards, Eliezer. Is that his name? Eliezer. He is a type of the Holy Ghost. And he was sent by Abraham, who was a type of God, to get a wife for his son, Jesus Christ. Whose son, of course, was Isaac. Isaac is a type of Christ. And the wife is a type of the church. But praise be to God, the church has a fullness. See what I mean? And the fullness of this work of the Holy Ghost is not only to found a church, but to carry back a bride back to Canaan land, or to the heavenly country. Now, I have no blackboard, but you think of what I'm saying. I'm going to show you a picture. Here we find this picture on the wall. To this side of the picture here, outside on the wall, the outside wall there, that is, let's call the picture there the tabernacle. Amen. And we call the outside wall there the outer court, right around. And away back here, this is Egypt. This is out there in Egypt. Then we find them coming through the gate there into the wilderness. The outer court is the wilderness. And they wander round and round for 40 years. But what I'm talking about is God sending a Holy Ghost out there in Egypt. Said, swear to me that you will bring back a wife for my son and that you will not take my son back to that Egypt land. But God promised me this land. Do you know that the promise of God was not the outer court? Come on now, think, people. The promise of God is not the outer court. The outer court is under the road to go into the tabernacle. Amen. But this is the Canaan land which God promised. And all the glories of Canaan is the glories that lie within the spiritual experience. Hallelujah. But there's a hard road to get there. Let's read a little about this hard road. And so, as we go along now, you match the natural world with the spiritual, and you'll see how beautiful it is. He came on, and it was evening. What's the meaning of that? The evening when women go to draw water. Amen. Why do people draw water? Because night is coming on, and you need water at night. And you don't want to be running down to the well at night. Amen. So people go to draw their water, all the water they'll need for the night, they draw it in the evening. And so, praise be to God, now is evening. You see, I am translating the word from the natural to the spiritual, and I want you to do it in your own mind as we read along. Now is evening, and it is time for the women to go to the well and draw their water. Because they were 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And this time it wasn't water, but it was oil. You see, God gives different stories, and each story has a different typology, and each type means maybe meaning the same thing. So the water in one story means oil in the other story. And so here comes 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. And they must get oil to serve them through the night. Brethren, God is saying that you must have enough Holy Ghost power to last you through the darkness. And just having the Holy Ghost in your spirit is not going to last you through the darkness. You know why? Any smart student? You know why it won't last you? Because there are some people now who have the Holy Ghost who are not living righteous. That's the reason. Some people right now, tonight, you know them. You better watch yourself when you deal with them. They have the Holy Ghost, but they have put him aside because he's in their spirit. He's not controlling their soul. He's in their spirit, and they put him aside when they want to do their business. And when they go to church, they say, come, Holy Ghost, come. You never hear them calling the Holy Ghost? You ever go to church and hear people, oh, Holy Ghost, come and be with us now. Where was he? They had put him one side, amen, for their daily business. And now they were going ready for him. They were calling him out. And so this is the situation with the wise virgin and the foolish virgin. The wise virgin had oil not only in their lamps, which is their spirit, but in their vessels, which is their soul. Get it? Holy Ghost is trying to get into your soul.
That's what he's doing with you. That's why he gives you gifts. That's why he blesses you. That's why he makes you fall in ditches. Amen. Yes. Holy Ghost stands on side and he rubs his hand and he lets you fall in a ditch. So that you might call to him and say, Lord, take me out. Amen. And then you get something in your soul. So you see, it is the analogy here is going to add something to this story tonight. It's kind of long. Let's read that. They went to the water, verse 11. He said, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. Church go out to get spirit, to get strength. And he said, O Lord God of my father Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camel drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Now blessed be to God. I have been telling the brethren recently that you, each person, must have a working agreement with the Holy Ghost. Not for the Holy Ghost's sake, but for your sake. Never leave any ambiguity between you and the Spirit of God. Let it be known, let the Spirit of God know that you have planned to do so and so. So the Spirit of God will be able to intercept you, stop you, or to let you go. Amen. God says, a man who wavers is like the wave of the sea, and what does he get from God? Nothing. Why? Why doesn't he get something from God, since God is a loving, good, nice, sweet Father God? Why is it that this man gets nothing from God? Because he's wavering. You know why? Anything God does, he would say something else. What? He's this today, he's that tomorrow. He's this today. He said, Lord, do it this way today. Tomorrow he said, Lord, do it that way. He said, Lord, heal me. And then he goes and take a glob of pill, tablet. He doesn't know who healing. Yeah. But any time you're going to trust God for the healing, stop the tablets. And any time you're going to take the tablets, don't ask God to heal you. Take the tablet. It's as simple as all that. You have a headache and you don't feel to pray, you take your tablets if you want to. Amen. But any time you're going to pray for that headache, put the tablets aside. Praise God. And so, the man who wavers is like the wave of the sea. So, when you're going to have God, you're working with God, you're doing a plan with God, you say to God, all right, God, I believe you, God. I believe you. You said, if I ask, I receive it. Therefore, I believe you, and I'm going to ask. And when I ask, nobody's going to convince me that I don't receive it. Because you, God, say, if I ask, I receive it. So I ask. Now I ask, I know I've got it. And I'm walking as if I had it. Now, if God sees something is wrong with your asking, or something is wrong with your operation, he's going to stop you because he knows you are depending on him. Follow what I mean? But if you're wishy-washy and don't know what you're doing, you have no direct course, so God can't do anything for you. For anything God do, you'd take something else. You follow that point? Or should we clear it before? Is there a clearance here that we need before I go further? This man, Eliezer, he said to God, now God, this is the way I'm going to it. I'm going to ask every one of those girls that come up here to give me some water. Now, any girl that says, I'll not only give you water, but I'll give your camel water too. Let that be the girl. So God now has to intercept the devil from going in there and making the wrong girl do that thing. You follow what I mean? It's got to be an act of faith. And God has to know that you are set in what you're doing, so then God can intercept or encourage you.
See, so I understand this, and this bothers me a lot.
Amen.
God is speaking to Abraham.
Amen.
All right, he spoke to Abraham. Well, when Christ speaks to me, and I've had him do it, there isn't any doubt in my mind, boom, I know, there isn't any change that it's going to happen. But otherwise, when he's not speaking to me, maybe this isn't the time for it to happen, I get in my mind, you see.
Yeah.
Or I know that I have prayed for people for certain situations, a health situation in the office, or a problem in their home. I prayed for it, and I've honestly believed as much as I know how to believe. And then come to pass, and how are you going to stand on this?
Well,
now, is there something wrong with me not knowing how to believe, or what? Because I know God
no.
is a liar. There's no question there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what gets into the act? Why is it that it doesn't work every time I really think I believe and I'm trying to hang on to it?
Well, first thing is that let us assume that you did believe, or else you wouldn't pray.
Yeah.
Quite. So then, you did believe and you prayed, and the thing didn't happen. It shows either that your prayer was against the will of God, or that you were forgetting something. Your prayer wasn't in order. It was an out of order prayer.
May I break in?
Yeah.
All right, I think it's, I believe it's in John, where it says, if we pray according to his will, we know that he heareth us.
Yeah.
We know that he heareth us, we know we have a petition set before him. Now, if I'm praying for a person's health, we'll say,
yeah.
Well, I know God wants them to be well.
Yes.
Well, then I've got to be praying in his will if I'm asking him to heal.
Yes, but it can be in his will and not in his order.
All right, then, how do I know?
All right, how do you know? Right. The only reason you should want that person to be well is not because the person comes to you and asks you to help them, but it is because the person is doing what God wants them to do. In other words, you, let's say Delinger walk into your office, gunman. Let's bring him back alive. And Delinger walks into your office. He wants to go down the street and shoot up the bank on you, but he's sick. So he comes into your office, you know, and you pray to God and do everything to help him. He wouldn't be healed because God knows that he's going down the street with that health to go shoot up the bank, and for that reason God wants to hold him sick a little longer so that the linger might repent. You see, whereas now if you're first, the thing that is first and foremost in your heart is to see that man blessed, filled with the Holy Ghost, and then healed, so that he can walk out of your office with a useful life, then you are 100% working in conjunction with God's perfect will. You see, God's perfect will for you is that you should not only be well physically, but spiritually. And sometimes we are sick spirits physically because we are sick spiritually. You see, now, we, the men and women who pray for people, will be glad to get everybody healed and turn them off the assembly line and let them run out like a new brand motor car. But we do not always think that maybe that sickness is holding back that man from some sinful operation which God wants to hold him back from. And so, in the perfect order of God, we should put the man's soul health first. Then attach that on to his physical health, and it must work every time. And this is why we don't get some healings. Some people filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't get it because somehow or the other they have unconfessed sins and God have not been hearing their prayers, and they have
separated themselves from God. For instance, if a person hates you, hates somebody, has a hate in his heart, you can't go pray with him to receive the Holy Ghost. You're going to have to get, the Spirit has to quicken that to you, and you get down on him with that hate first. And as the hate goes, boom, he's filled with the Spirit. Very often you find it like that. So although the basic is ask and it shall be given, and everyone that asketh receive it, yet some can't take it. They ask for things that they can't take because they are bound. You know, you tie a man's hand, have him tied down, and he says, well, I want a drink of water. And you bring the water, put it before him. He can't take it because he's tied. Loose him first. Then he'll be able to take that water. So that's the principle there. Praise the Lord. Now, let's see then. So this man made a working arrangement with God so that he couldn't make any mistake. Not God now. So that the man would know what God is doing and what God is saying. And it came to pass, verse 15, and it came to pass, before he had done speaking, before the man had finished making the arrangement with God, amen, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, wife of Nahor, Abram's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. Do you notice how they express the word virgin? You notice how they express the word virgin in verse 16. The meaning of that is to give you a hint that we are talking about a virgin people. Amen. Turn your Bibles around to Revelation 14 and just hold on to that there. Revelation 14. And in verse 4, we are looking at the sons of God coming forth in the glory of the Father. These are they which were not defiled by women. And this word women here means the church system. For they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. So praise be to God. You see then, the meaning of a virgin is one that is not contaminated in his spiritual being, in his mind, by let me put it right, not contaminated by doctrines which are counted as fornication or adultery. You see, the Bible definitely said she was a virgin because she had not committed fornication. And this is speaking of a spiritual virgin who has not had contact, hallelujah, with the system which would defile her. Now, and the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. You ever look at that Lord's Prayer that you say so often? The Holy Ghost, this man is a type of the Holy Ghost, and he ran to meet the virgin. Some people say it's hard to get the Holy Ghost. Those people who are talking against the Holy Ghost, you know why they are? Because they never received it. If they receive him, they'll turn right around and start talking that the Holy Ghost is wonderful. But they never receive the Holy Ghost because they are not virgins. Amen. And you need a virgin mind, a mind cleansed, sanctified, hallelujah, and ready, prepared, ready for the receipt of the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost, the man who symbolized the Holy Ghost, ran to her. And what did he do? Did he say, I've got all these jewels and gold here to give you on this nice dress? No, no. He begged her something. Your Lord's Prayer said, forgive us our trespasses to the same degree and to the same in the same manner in which we forgive our fellow man. When you start forgiving somebody, you are actually opening up your own soul for forgiveness. So the Holy Ghost asked her to give him water. Amen. He had his water and everything ready there. Ask her to give him water. And see what she said here? And she said, drink, my Lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when he had done giving, and when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels, 10 camels. Brethren, you have no idea how many hours work she put in. A camel is a water drinker. A camel will drink gallons and gallons of water and keep it for days and days in his stomach and keep feeding on it. In the desert, when men run out of water and they have camels and men are going to die for thirst, they kill the camel, puncture his stomach, and take the water out. Camels are water drinkers. The woman fed, gave 10 camels water, and all those men stood up there and watched him. You don't think Eliezer was driving 10 camels here alone. All those men stood there and watched her give those 10 camels water. And the Bible says she ran. Amen. Spirit of God was moving her. And he knew that God had answered. God had answered. She didn't even have to give, you know, do it so much to prove, but he knew. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will, yes, verse, and the man wondering at her held his peace. He just stood there in amazement, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of 1/2 shekel weight and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold and said, whose daughter art thou? He didn't find that out yet, you know. Remember, he had gone back there to get a girl that was belonging to Abraham's family. And he had not yet found out. He took out his earrings and his bracelet, and he was ready to crown her. Amen. Tell me, I pray thee. Where is that now? 23. And he said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare upon Nahor. And in other words, the very girl that Abraham had told him to go there for, he just went right dead on the nail head. He didn't even have to see 2 girls. She was the girl. What are we listening to? We're listening to a natural story with a spiritual meaning. Hallelujah. And the spiritual meaning of this is that the Holy Ghost comes to the church. The Holy Ghost comes to the church for a purpose. You remember, tonight we're talking about the quest of the Holy Ghost. What is he here for? What is his intention? What is the very fullness of his visit to us? And what is he doing tonight? Now, first of all, he put on, what did it say there? Verse 23 said, she got what? Two earrings first. The ears. Do you know that salvation cometh by hearing? If your ears are not good, you are in bad shape. Brethren, let me tell you, some people who hear, it would be better for them in a death judgment if they were deaf. Because everything you say in the spirit, they hear it differently. Yes? Everything, I know you could bring some people, put them here tonight, and they wouldn't hear half of what you hear. Some people are half hearers, some quarter hearers, some three quarter hearers, and few people hear what you really say in the fullness. When your ears are anointed by the Spirit, you hear some things that I never said. You go beyond what the preacher is saying. And you hear more, because the Spirit is quickening the thing to you and is bringing life out of what you hear. Praise be to God. That's what the two golden earrings are for. Amen. And in the spiritual, your spiritual ears should have gold hanging on to them. I'm not saying you must go and buy golden earrings now, you know. Your spiritual ears should have gold hanging on to them. You know why? Because gold is the nature of your Father. And your ears are supposed to hear like God hears. Instead of hearing the things of the devil. I forgot where it was. A beautiful message was preached, and the preacher gave a joke during the message. And somebody came home and they said, "What you heard today?" And all that person could remember to relate was the joke that the preacher gave. Beautiful message. All they remembered was the joke. Hearing. And then after that, what now? What else did he do? Of 10 shekels weight of gold onto bracelets. I don't know how she could, you know, I don't know how she lifted that up, but those bracelets must have come from here to way up here. Gold, pure gold. I'm going to show you something. You remember how many camels he brought with him? 10 camels. Remember that? 10 weight of gold. And the number 10 has a meaning. It means government on earth here. Whether it be spiritual government or natural government, 10 is a number of government. And when he went into Abraham's place and take out 10 camels to take one girl back, it means to say that that girl has something to do with that 10 and with that government of God on earth. And when he went and he put on those bracelets onto her, and the weight of the bracelet was 10 shekels of gold, it means that he had given her the government. Yeah. You want to read it, or you believe me if I quote the scripture? And the government and the dominion of the whole earth shall be given to the saints of the Most High God. And I'm quoting from Daniel chapter 7, verse 27, I believe. That the saints of the Most High God
are going to receive the government. And this is what he had done. After he gave her the government, now watch what he's going to do to her next now. That's, it's the Holy Ghost, you know. Yes, brother.
Is this the meaning of what's happening in our country now? We're finding a lot of Christian men at the head of our government, of our government?
No. No, I why I don't think so is because though they are Christians, though they are at the head of the government, they cannot influence the trend of things. The trend seems to be going down, 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 and they are like little pebbles in the pathway of a rolling steamroller. So, and this is not the way that the government is going to be taken over. The government is going to be taken over suddenly, with a great force of spiritual power breaking forth and taking away the government from the wicked men. You see, there was the stone cut out of the mountain without hands, rolling down into Babylon and smiting the image and smiting the world government, smiting the four kingdoms of the world and grinding it to powder, and a wind, Holy Ghost, come and blow it away, never to be found again. This is a cataclysmic happening. These men are going to wreck the world, brother. And the Christians in government won't be able to stop them. Right now, brother, if you want my opinion, that the Christians in government are helping to do one thing that God is doing now pertaining to Israel. Pertaining to the natural Israel. The scriptures speak of the time when all nations would turn against Israel. And I tell you, I was just downright shocked to count the amount of nations that turned against Israel. Can you count those who were for Israel? Hardly. About three. Right. And boy, they got down on them and almost knocked them out of the saddle. They took away their oil. If the United States wasn't strong, we would be in a dreadful condition because of these nations that turned against Israel. And they're consolidating their situation. And this situation is threatening right today, from yesterday, to destroy the United Nations. Because America says she's going to stop supporting the United Nations. And if that happens, then it's the end of the United Nations. You see? And so, we live in a beautiful time where we can see these things really coming to pass. So I believe God is using this influence for a purpose, for the time being, until the great consummation. Because he said, and the end shall come with a great flood. He's talking about tribulation and destruction. And he said, the whole earth shall lie in destruction. The earth is going to stagger like a drunken man and fall. And the whole earth will be covered with destruction because of this abomination, this sin that has taken charge of the earth, the sin of rebellion against God. All you see man is doing, his great problem is rebellion against God. All man's invention is because he rebelled against God. You see, if man wanted a motor car, man could have turned to God and said, God, show me how to make a car. God would show him a very simple, wonderful thing that didn't have any pollution and nothing, and we would have had a God car. You see, if man wanted an airplane, God would have shown man how to make an airplane. You see, but what has happened is that man's mind turned from God to the natural. And so all these ponderous, massive machinery you see going on, it is man's mind. God allows us, and we're going right to the end of the whole cataclysmic end, when everything will clash together and smash this earth, and then God's going to intervene. For I said, if he didn't intervene, nobody would be saved. This is how the sons of God will come in, and how the deliverance will come. So we go back to this beautiful story. So the man Eliezer here
gave her things for her ears, and then he gave her things for her hands. Now your hands are the ministry, the church. If this sister, Rebecca, represents the church, then our hands would represent the ministry. You see what he did? Upon the ministry, he put 10 shekels of gold. That is the rulership or the spiritual guidance of the church will come from the head through the ministry. Amen. Now, that's the infilling of the Holy Ghost. He's asking you to give him a place. Imagine. This man didn't want any place. This man was Abraham's servant, and they were well rich. A man could take down so much gold off his camel. He could have gone to the inn, and they would have gladly given him the whole inn to stay for the night. So therefore, the analogy must be deliberately made by God this way, that he should want to dwell in her father's house. Amen. Holy Ghost, the indwelling of the Spirit. Let me turn with you to hold that there and turn to 14th chapter of St. John's Gospel. Brother John 14. And Jesus revealing the Holy Ghost to us in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be where? In you. I want to come in to your Father's house and dwell for the night. Hallelujah. The night is coming, brethren, and he wants to come into his your Father's house and dwell. And this is not only a Holy Ghost asking you to allow him into your soul, into your spirit. It is a Holy Ghost asking you to allow him into your soul. You allow the Holy Ghost into your spirit. Most of you already, yes. But have you given him access to your soul? Let me define that. Does the Holy Ghost control your thinking? When you are planning your business, is it the Holy Ghost that has the final word in your plans for your business? When you're planning your life, when you are even planning what to buy at the store, does the Holy Ghost have a chance in that? Does the Holy Ghost disturb your emotions at times? When I say disturb, I mean stir. You didn't have any feeling, any desire for something, and all of a sudden, whoops, you know, you feel something whip you up, and the Holy Ghost have an access to your emotions. Blessed be to God Almighty. Sometimes somebody should be cussing mad, and he's Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Remember the sister, a friend of mine, she had not yet been quite delivered from the spirit of madness, you know, getting mad and cussing, really. She was a nice, good Christian, but she couldn't help cussing sometimes. And that girl really disturbed her daughter. And she rushed down on her, and she said she felt the invectives, you know, the different words coming up out of her being to come through her mouth. And when she rushed upon the girl, she spoke in tongues. And she was shocked. And the girl was frightened. Because the girl was expecting a barrage of curse
And that's what she was going to say. And the Holy Ghost intervened and she spoke in tongues to the girl. And it rebuked her and she was cleansed. And she really asked the child pardon and everything. And it blessed the girl because it made her a better Christian. But the Holy Ghost, he's come to teach us all things. He said the world cannot receive him. If that girl wasn't belonging to the same family, she couldn't receive the Eliezer. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So when you are having problems, turn to the Holy Ghost and said, are you their comforter? I need some comfort. Yes, sir. I find some time ago, I was getting funny. I mean, I'm feeling real riled up. And I said, Holy Ghost, you better do something about it. And he just intervened and there was peace. Amen. And you run down the line here and you look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Praise be to God. Now we go back to the story here. Praise the Lord. And we see he's going to do something else to her. And she said unto him, I am the daughter of, yes, she, verse 25, and she said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. Room. You got room? You have room for the Holy Ghost? Bless God. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think this is the speaking in tongues. But don't say that I said so. Praise God. No. Look at it. Verse 26. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. Can you imagine seeing her running with the golden bracelet and golden earrings? And that would frighten her family. Where did you get that? Amen. Isn't that the way people approach you when they see you coming with the nature of God hanging all over you? Amen. Praise God. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. It is the gold that he saw that convinced him more than anything what made him run. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelet upon his sister's hand, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. This is like her brother, is like your spirit calling in the Holy Ghost. But the soul had to run first and say, Spirit, this is thus and thus and thus have been blessed with the nature of God. Amen. And he comes and invites him into the house. Long, beautiful story. If you're not tired, we'll go on just a little bit more. And he, verse 32. And the man came into the house,
And he ungirded his camel, gave straw provender for the camel, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. And he said, speak on. Now, this is the Holy Ghost will not rest in your soul until he has got your word, until he has told his errand. And I'm telling you something, that the Spirit of God is still telling you his errand, some of you, and you have not yet heard. That's why there is no rest for some people. When I received the Spirit, I was more restless than before, because I wanted everything that God wanted me to have. Amen. And he said, I'm Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he is become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, men servants, maid servants, camels and asses. And Sarah, my mother's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he had. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife. Yes, let's see if we can run over that story and come down to verse 49. And now, if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Now, I don't know if you notice what has happened here, that he, Eliezer, had got the word from God that this is the girl. But he hadn't got the girl's word yet. Follow me? The Holy Ghost comes to the church, he knows you. You are the people. Every one of you can be the 144,000, the first fruit company of the living God. Every human being that the Holy Ghost calls. He knows you. He wants your word. And listen to this drama here. Oh, it's beautiful. And then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceeded from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard these words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. Praise God. Bless the whole household. And they did eat and drink. And the men then went with him and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning. And he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord had prepared my way and sent me away, that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. Where? At her mouth. Confession is made. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Praise be to God. And they sent away Rebekah their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah, and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah rose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah, and went his way. Isn't this wonderful? And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahori, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. Amen. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil, covered herself, and the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into her mother's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. Praise be to God. You know, beautiful stories in the Bible should be read. They are so beautiful. But if you read the stories in the Bible and they don't have a meaning in your own life today, then you missed a third of the Bible. The last third. Because the first third is the natural story. The second third is the spiritual story. What does it mean? And the third is, what does it mean to me in my life? I had been giving you the spiritual interpretation right along. And there is much, much more in it. We could spend all night, and I bet every one of you got something that I didn't even see in that story. And this is the way the Spirit works. Because God sent the Holy Ghost here, and his chief business is to take us back to heaven. But unfortunately for those who are carnal, heaven is not out there. Heaven is a realm. So therefore, you are going from the realm of the natural, carnal, physical, to the realm of the spiritual. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a journey down the street at all. You see, it's a journey down the street of time. As we go along, we move into experiences. It is an experiential journey. Hallelujah. That we are going through. And you could almost tell what part of the journey you are at. Amen. Because here, as we travel along, we find, for instance, the garments that he put upon her, the wedding garments, were your righteousness. You know that. But it's not just your righteousness alone. But it's got to be the perfect will of God brought forth in you. As I was saying, I said that lamp is there, and that lamp is shining. What did it take for the lamp to shine? That lamp could be as perfect as the lamp is right now, and the Brother Talby stretch his hand there and plug that lamp out, and it is just as lamp as ever it was, but it's not lighted. It has no power in it. You take out the bulb, you have a lamp with power and no light, because no bulb is in it. You are the bulb of God. You are God's bulb. And God wants you to light up in the world. And without you, there's no light. There's power. A lot of it. But no light, because you are the negative and God the positive. And God meets in the physical, natural being, that ye are the light of the world. Amen. Because the negative and the positive meets in the bulb and creates a flash point. And there is a light. So we see God working in us to bring forth something. What's he doing? What's he doing? Let me tell you. The place that Eliezer is taking us is to be just like Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You get it? Until you are like Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you have not yet reached the place where Eliezer is taking us, the Holy Ghost. Keep marching. Amen. That's all I have to say to you tonight. Just keep marching, brother. Praise the Lord.
The thing at the very last verse here, before, that I think many people do not get in our day and age, especially, is the committing of adultery. It says here that, or it doesn't say here anything about the court or anybody writing up a marriage program, does it?
No.
It says when he took her, she became his wife. This means that, according to my understanding, that when he took Rebecca, she then became his wife the minute he knew her.
Yeah.
You don't have to go through a wedding ceremony. Therefore, when these people get out and commit adultery and figure, or at least they're having sexual relations with one another, they think they're free, but actually they aren't, because they're breaking God's law from the standpoint that she's his wife right then.
Yeah, that's the way it is in righteousness. You see?
And they've broken the law and committed adultery there, or they think so. But the court law doesn't have anything to do.
No, the court, you see, partially because the court has nothing to do with righteousness either. Because when marriage was made, it was made in holiness. There was no sinners around. And God married the two people, and that was good enough for them. But then, when sin came in, God had to turn around and tell Moses to give them a writing of divorcement and let them go and marry again. You see, and that had to be done because people weren't marrying like Isaac and Rebecca married, or like Adam and Mrs. Adam married. You see, in other words, the conscience has to be part of the marriage. See, but this flashes to me, I might as well say it. We knew of a case, a man got married, and at the wedding reception they couldn't find him, and lo and behold, they go and found him in another room with another woman. The night of the reception, the wedding. So you see, he didn't have marriage on his mind at all. He didn't know what marriage is. It was an arrangement made by a legal system that he didn't intend to keep. He's like a criminal going out breaking the law. He had no intention to keep. And this is the difference between Christian marriage and sin marriage. On the other hand, the Christian must realize that after you come to Jesus, you consecrate your marriage. So if it wasn't even made good at first, when you come to Jesus, it's made good now, because your conscience has been consecrated and your husband and your wife is consecrated. So it's really a very bad thing for Christians to get into the state of mind where they can think, well, if she doesn't work all right, I'll throw her away and get me another one. You see, it's a very, very bad thing for Christians to think that, because they might well be entering into adultery. Praise God. Not that God won't forgive you of adultery, but some people never ask forgiveness. They think they're right. And there are some Christians that marry 2, 3, 4 times, not as sinners, but as Christians. See, if you married 4 times as a sinner, then when you come to Jesus Christ, Jesus forgives you of all your sins, including the marriages. Amen. But after you become a Christian and you go about marrying 2, 3, and 4 times, brother, something's wrong with you. You haven't repented yet. You need a repentance to stop that marriage thing. I don't know, you know, some people might hear this from the tapes and so on, but I want us to know the truth. God will forgive you of any mistakes you make, but you only have to put it before him, and then he'll stop you making mistakes there. But some people take it as a pleasure to make mistakes. In other words, a man who was married once, he made a mistake, he had to marry a second time, he made another mistake, he married a third time, he made another mistake, married a fourth time. something's wrong. Not as a Christian. That's the acts of a sinner. So praise be to God. If anybody is not satisfied with what I said, please ask me again and let me just go a little further. Praise God. Adultery is not the unpardonable sin. Praise God. It's not the unpardonable sin. God will forgive. But God will forgive people who, you know what repentance is. Repentance is rejecting sin, turning away from it, and turning to God. Three actions. But I could reject, if this chair is sin, and I reject the sin, I turn away from it. But I don't turn to God, I turn somewhere else. But the rejection of this, I must turn away from it and deliberately turn to God. Which is the opposite of, and then that's repentance. Praise be to God.
It is that the word given to the lesson first, be like the earnest of the Spirit that is mentioned in the New Testament.
Yes, you notice he gave her a down payment, like. Maybe it was saying that the gifts that were given at first, as the earrings and the bracelets, they were an earnest of the Spirit. Because actually, if you can't hear God, you can't do what God says, for you can't hear. So first of all, he anointed your ears, and when the priest was being consecrated, they put the blood on his right ear, his right thumb, and his right big toe. So his hearing, his labor, and his works, and his walk were three parts of him that was anointed with the blood. So the point she brought up here is that if this was what Paul spoke of as an earnest of the Spirit, and truly it is, and it is also the ministry that God gives to the church, the ministry, the anointed ministry, the praise God given to the body of Christ. Amen. Pardon me though, saying this. You know, you see you people sitting here, you are hearing differently, you know. You are hearing differently now from most of you used to hear a year ago. Because a year ago, some of you were so steeped in your churches that you couldn't sit down and listen to this. And you couldn't sit down for hour and a half and listen to a message. You were just 20 minutes message people and half an hour message. You've got to get up and catch the show before it's over and so on, you know. That was the kind of thing. We were more interested in other things our ears weren't annoying. And this is a blessing. Praise God. Yes.
Yeah, talking about having to go through all through the night, you know, or that it's married at midnight.
The marriage is at midnight. But you must remember that they went through the night, but they were inside, while the other bride was outside. You see, some of the bride class of God's people will be outside suffering all that the sinners are suffering, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But others of God's bride will be inside the bride chamber, being sheltered, and have light in there, whereas there will be darkness outside. So in the midst of the tribulation, God will protect his people, will be protecting his people. But some people, in order to get their oil, they will have to go out into the darkness.
It will be like a foolish virgin.
Foolish virgins. Remember, they did come and they did knock and said, open up to us. They said, why? They said, we have got oil. But they got it the hard way.
And the foolish ones not being prepared, you may have to suffer.
Have to suffer to get their spiritual blessing in their souls, you see. And chiefly, I'll explain it to you. A lot of us, our souls are taken up with the things of this world. We are so deeply involved in our soul nature that the nature of Christ does not get a chance to work in our souls. This is the situation with a lot of the people of God now. And no preaching is going to stop them from taking it easy. I said to a brother, you know, we are in the tribulation. He said, well, I'm having it pretty good. And it's kind of difficult for man's really having it good, you know, scraping in a few $1,000s and having it good. It's hard for you to come and tell him that it's tribulation. He hears about other people having tribulation. But you know, sometimes it just grieved my soul when you think tonight, did any of you read the story of this Russian man that jumped the ship and came back to Chicago? Doesn't it bring tears to your heart to know that tonight, while we are free, there are so many innocent people in Russian jails, pining away, dying in cold and in hunger? Yes.
I don't want to be asking all the questions, but only no one else is. These things bother me. Now, it says, and you just repeated it, that God will take care of his people in tribulation. Now, Russia's been going, maybe people have been going through really a tribulation in Russia. For instance, we received letters from a gentleman we help out a little. And it tells about people that are receiving help and who are really hiding out to copy pages of the Bible to pass out among other Christians in Russia. When they catch them, they even beat one of these gentlemen so bad with a tube before they broke his back. Then they took the wife and the children's food, shares, everything, and they had to pay taxes because he couldn't work. Now, I don't know how to put this without being a little fearful that God will whack me on the head for not believing him, but to me, this just looks like he's taking care of this fellow very much.
Brother, the loving Father, the good God, he couldn't be better.
Yes, sir?
He couldn't be better. He couldn't be taking more care. You see, God cares for your soul more than your body. And if your body is to be beaten to pulp in order to bring forth the grace and the glory of God in you, he's going to make it be beaten to pulp. And this is good. It's not evil.
So here's a man who's going and breaking the law of the country to hide people out in his house to preach the gospel, to tell the gospel.
It's working it's working for him an exceeding weight of glory that faded not away. God couldn't have everybody in that situation, but that man is working an exceeding weight of glory when God called forth the men and the women who have come forth for the 144,000. You might well see that man at the forefront of them. He couldn't have made it if he didn't go through that. You are able to work in freedom, and God is able to reach to you, and you are able to send money to help him. You better believe it, brother, that this country, the United States of America, she has been spared so far because there is no people in any part of the world that is so liberal, and I don't know why. I don't know why the Americans have a free spirit of liberality. I don't know if it's because they have more than other people, why they are so liberal. But from what I know, the people who have more are tighter than anybody else. But the American spirit is a spirit of liberality. And through this country, I have seen people living and surviving and working for God through people who will just send their gifts, and they hardly know what they're doing. They're just sending their gift. And it creates deliverance in the hearts and hope in the mind of other people who are in the darkness out there working. So this is how God has arranged it. But you know something? God tells me that the tribulation is coming from the east like the sun that shines in the east and sets in the west. That the glory of God first was revealed in the east. I wondered how Watchman Nee got so much. God said he had revealed all that we are getting here. To these people, they rejected it. And it has come right across the world. And you know what he said? He said the United States is the last bastion of freedom. There is nowhere to go from here. And this is going to be the last time. So, when the tribulation really hit here in the force of its power, that will be the time that God speak about. That will be such trouble on earth as never was since a man was made until this moment. And this is it. I have been in places, and I mean, I'm not saying this to solicit assistance, because my assistance comes from God, really. And I want you to know how much sometimes you may give a gift and you don't know what you're doing. We've been in a place and we had run clean out of money, and this was a very dry place. There's no way to get a cent from anybody. Somebody in the United States sent $15. We had to get groceries, and we went out into the town to get groceries without any money. We went to the post office, and there was a $15. And we got groceries for that day. At that time, the gas, and it is still now, the gasoline for the car was $1.65 a gallon. And when you go into the line and you get a little gas, you'll pay $10 for something like 6 gallons of gas. And their dollars is more than your dollars, bigger dollars. So it's about $12. And I saw God use brethren from the United States to really, I mean, teach us how much we can depend on God. Because we never wrote one line to one soul and said so and so and so. And God made them just send like that. See? And so, whenever God puts it on your heart to send an offering to somebody over there, whether you know him or not, it's better to make a mistake and send it than to make the mistake of not sending it. When God does. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, the tribulation has taken those lands. But the great tribulation, the end of it is going to be here harder than anywhere else. Because they are used to it already. It will be all over the world. But they are more used to suffering than you here. You know? If those people there had nothing to eat for 10 days, it wouldn't bother them. They would still go about their business, walking up and down. And you wouldn't know much. If you here didn't have something to eat for 10 days, some of us would die in this country. And yet to walk up and down and do your business and nobody knows that you're hungry for 10 days is a simple thing for some of the people that I know who are suffering and working out there.
Brother Cecil, for instance, when you have something to give and you ask God where to go, and he just doesn't tell you specifically for quite a while.
Hold it.
Sir?
Hold it. He wants you to store it up there until he tells you.
And you just don't send anything?
Well, if you don't get an impression, listen, the truth is that God is the guide. He's the he's the general and he has an army and he's moving them like this and like this. And if God wants something to go over there, he'll send it. He'll tell you to send it over there. When he wants it to go over here, he'll tell you to send it over here. This is where the church system has brainwashed us into a wrong mold. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. This is the storehouse. You see. You are supposed to give to the points that God directs you. Amen. And you, God sometimes directs you just by a hint. Sometimes somebody just flashes before you. Like I'm going down the street and I just remember you. Why should you come to my memory? So, oh God, if there's anything wrong with him now, just send your spirit and bless him and deliver him and help him. That's what I have to give. Immediately you come before me, I know it's for a reason. And if this brother comes before you and you begin to pray for him, and you feel a feeling, you do feel of God sometimes. You feel a feeling like you sympathize with him. Something is there. Sometimes God will impress you on how much to send to him right away. Don't deny him. It's better for you to send it and be wrong than not to send. Praise God.
We have a lady in our church that's been twice, but she can send about the church on top to the boys home down in the country. And she said, he came to the plane, and I'm going to send it. And so she's asked the other ones in the community if they had boys.
Those teachers,
she thought, after all, she's dreamed twice, and it was one morning
right
after that, and she couldn't get over it. She said, I'm going to send it.
No.
What do you think of that?
Oh, man, I would send it long ago, because I know they need it. Yes, I mean, the last time I went down there, I mean, I've been growing up in this thing and seeing them all the while. It never impressed me as much as the last time I went down there and saw the little kids running up and down naked. You know, some kids don't have any clothes to wear. And they just run naked. Some never have shoes to wear. You know, and things are very expensive down there. And they get about 10 times less pay than you when they do get work. So it's a very tough place. And if I can assure you that they need it.